I'm so excited to have my next guest on the line with me. There is a brand new film coming out soon, starring Elijah Wood, filmed right here in Canterbury. It is called Bookworm, and I'm delighted to have the creator of the story. I'm so excited. The creator of the story on the line with me right now, Mr. Ant Timpson. Good morning. Hello. Give me one sec. Mr. Ant, are you there?
Liam, how are you doing?
Oh, there we go. How are you, mate? Are you well?
I'm good. Look, we had the New Zealand premiere last night, so I'm a little dusty, but apart from that, all good.
Dusty, does that mean you may have celebrated a little bit?
Let's just say it was a long day.
Rightfully so. Congratulations. You should be... First of all, I couldn't even begin to imagine the work it takes to bring a film to its final product. That already seems like a nightmare in of itself to me. So congratulations. How was this whole experience for you?
It was, filmmaking is like, it takes a long time to get these things up and running. So it's usually... on average, like 4 years, if you're lucky.
Oh, my God.
It's a long journey. So by the time you get to the shoot, your adrenaline's waning, and then it's like a big dysfunctional family that gets together and tries to go camping together to have fun. And you have exactly like that, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. But at the end, you just have incredible memories of the experience. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's I'm in the sort of, you know, post-haze high now of not having to worry about the film. It's finally getting out there to the public, which is, you know, it's kind of like the really beautiful time in the journey of a film's life.
Yeah, I absolutely can imagine that. Now, to our audience out there, I mean, the part about this I love is that it's filmed here in Canterbury, but more importantly, it centres around one of our great myths. Canterbury.
New Zealand's version of Bigfoot.
Yeah. Now, please, pray tell, how did this all come about?
Well, Toby is a friend of mine in the UK who's a writer. We've written a few projects together, and we always use Elijah Wood as a kind of avatar for our male insecurities and neuroses and to mine for comedic effect. And we had this image of a washed out illusionist stuck in the Canterbury wilderness, a complete fish out of water, and then with a young estranged daughter that he has to look after, and just that kind of unique odd buddy scenario of a father trying to win back his daughter's affection, who doesn't even know this guy, and then both out in the elements and not really being capable of surviving out there. And just found that kind of scenario really sort of intriguing in terms of mining and layering a lot of other sort of themes from our other projects onto it. So it's like a family movie. It's like, it's very PG, but it's got a kind of very offbeat sensibility that, we just can't escape from because we have fun with those sort of scenarios. So there's it's one of those films that doesn't pander to kids, but so it's not like adults have to suffer through a film that their kids can watch. There's a lot of really I'm surprised we escaped with a PG. Let's just say that it's real fun. I watched it last night with a lot of sort of families who brought their kids to the premiere, and I was just so happy because it's not like a hyper manic Hollywood style super cut, you know, explosions and everything. So I keep thinking kids have no attention span, but I kind of think that's a myth. They do, you know, if you give them a character, and we've got a really strong young female lead, that they can kind of, they love seeing someone, a kid like that, giving stick back to an adult for a lot of the film, and an adult kind of like struggling against a child who's brighter, smarter, and more capable of living in the wild. And they just, it sort of works well for everyone. So Yeah. Sorry, that's a very long answer to a short question.
No, no, I love that. Because, I mean, that's one of those comedic relationships that is funny to anyone, really.
Yeah.
And it's so. Well, yeah, yeah. And it's so. It's so funny you say that because it was very timely. I was having a conversation the other day with someone, and it was we were talking about how intimidated we are by teenagers now. Even though we're adults, teenagers seem really intimidating to us.
Yeah, they're just so savvy. I mean, I'm scared of my kids as well. Yeah. They're like right in that prime, rebellious period. Yeah. But you, what I forgot to say is that, yes, we do use the Canterbury Panther as a myth as part of the sort of plot mechanics because, I don't know, I mean, I'm a much older dude than you. So I grew up in the 70s where all these sort of, you know, mysterious places in the world like the Bermuda Triangle were very real to me. You know, it was like you could keep thinking you were going to drown in quicksand or get, you know, meet Bigfoot. It was the idea of the, you know, the sense of wonder and everything has kind of sort of been chipped away at over the decades through technology, and that we seem to be able to, with one click, discover and find everything. But back then, the world just seemed way more mysterious than sort of just full of wonder. So the Canterbury Panther kind of plays into that whole mythos. I mean, I'm a believer. I saw photos of the ones that, these giant ferals that were shot, and they're only a little bit smaller than a female panther, you know, in terms of like size and weight.
Yeah, right, They're
real. So yeah, you don't have to extrapolate too far to think that, you know, if there's a hybrid out there, that it could be, yeah, there could be some danger lurking in those trees somewhere.
Oh, I have always liked to think there is. It's just, and I don't know, it makes life seem a little more exciting, really, doesn't it? Now, I would love to ask, how was it filming in Canterbury? I mean, you know, a lot of us would obviously just assume, oh, it's beautiful, it must be lovely. what a breeze. Is that the case?
Well, yeah, it is. I'm coming from Southern stock, so it was like I really wanted to pay homage to, you know, when I was a kid running around loose as a feral child without any parental supervision, and it kind of harks back to that experience. But yeah, no, we just a lot of lovely areas that we visited. You know, Phil Elijah, he was sort of like revisiting a lot of the places that he shot Rings at, you know.
Yeah, yeah, really, right. Really,
but, you know, the whole area is like a microclimate, you know, when you're dealing with around the Horden Plain, Arthur's Pass and Mine Knob. And it can change so quickly that in terms of film continuity, it can be a real nightmare. But we got lucky, man. We had the Windy app out open every 24/7 checking how it was all going to go. Because a film that takes place, if you set a film in the wilderness for like 90% of it, you don't really have much room to pivot for all your interiors, so you're kind of stuck.
Like, yeah,
no matter how the weather bags in. But we got the weather gods smiled on us, man. We just had the best time, honestly. There was a couple of hairy moments, and you know, we went to very difficult areas, so I'm sure the crew weren't totally ecstatic all the time about lugging equipment up areas of ravines and things. But we it really benefited the film at the end for doing it for real and not like, you know, cheating in any way. We really maximized the most of the gorgeous area down there. And yeah, I mean, we loved hanging out for a few months down there. I mean, Methven was the base for a while, and then we stayed in stations and farms throughout the area, and yeah, just welcomed by the community. And you know, I was always digging for dirt on people who had any Canterbury Panther sightings as well, so I was always after the big black cat stories if I could find them.
Now tell me, was this like a trip down memory lane for Elijah?
Absolutely, yeah. So it was the weird thing was that he actually knew crew members from Lord of the Rings that were on Bookworm. So
oh, well, that's just very New Zealand though, isn't it, really?
It's so small town, it's like, hey, it's you. So there was a little bit of that. There was like the a woman who runs a great cafe in Methven that was like our base for grabbing snacks and coffees and things. She, Maria, her name is, she's great. She's a real character. She was the caterer on Lord of the Rings as well.
Like, oh my god.
He knew her from that. I mean, the thing is that the Kiwi thing around when you see stars from Hollywood or whatever is we're very laid back. Like,
yes,
I think he got
approached
twice, and the whole time he's there, he got papped in Foursquare and Methven. But everyone's so respectful, like to the point of actually not even engaging. So it's like reverse snobbery in a really good way. I find it really refreshing. Otherwise, you know, his whole life is like being swamped by people.
Yeah, I always think the celebrities must love that about New Zealand, which is nice, I guess.
I absolutely think they do, unless the ones with massive egos that need to have it stroked. He's not one of those.
Now, there's, of course, as you mentioned, there's a young character in this as well. Mildred, played by Nell Fisher. What was she like to work with?
Well, she was incredible. I mean, Nell, you know, the whole film hangs on that character.
Yeah,
She carries the weight of the entire film. So it was really, you know, a concern when we were first scripting this thing. Like, this is a lot to ask for a kid. It's very, the dialogue is really flowery and kind of funny and very adult-like to coming out of the lips of a child. So we had to find exactly the right person for the job. And she really had a fantastic audition. She came highly recommended from the casting team. And so we were really encouraged by that. I actually knew her when she was eight. She was in this cool little indie New Zealand film called North Spur, and I thought it wasn't a huge role, but you could see that there was confidence. And then I talked to the director of Evil Dead Rise, who I know, Lee, and he just said, look, you've got to get her, she's incredible. Because I was worried that it's just a lot to work nearly every single day, every frame of the film for a child that young. But she is very similar to the character in the film. She's highly intelligent and super confident, and just has, like, she's just years beyond her age in terms of just wisdom on set. So, yeah, she was a dream to work with. I mean, she was giving me script notes through the
thing. Wow.
She was picking up grammatical errors. She's a bit of a fastidious, she is a bookworm. And she pulled me up on some grammatical errors in the script, which I found very refreshing.
Oh, bloody good on her. That is so cool. I can't wait to see her performance in this. Now, I have to ask.
You forgot to say she's in Stranger Things.
Is she?
She's in the new series. This is how big this kid's going to be. Nell is like, we knew she was going to be a star, but...
Oh, my God.
Finding out that she's in the new season of Stranger Things, so her star is going to explode.
Oh, my God. That is so cool. And that's a great show as well.
It's the biggest one in the world, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That makes me so excited. Now, I have to ask, because Elijah Wood, in interviews and stuff, he seems like the loveliest man in the world. Is he really?
Yeah, no, he's really. I mean, we're quite good friends, and our families have hung out together. He's very low key. He doesn't do the celeb stuff at all. You never see him in the gossip columns pages over the years. He's just He's just a down to earth dude who just loves movies, and like he started a cool production company that makes just films that he wants to be involved with, and that's how we made a film together called The Greasy Strangler, which is like the polar opposite of Bookworm. But it's we just get on really well, and he's been doing it since he was 5 years old. He's the most experienced person on set usually.
Like, I didn't realize he started so young.
He was in Back to the Future when he was just a tiny kid, you know. He's Back to the Future 2, I think, was his
possibly first screen.
But he was in commercials before that as well. Mm. But yeah, he's just a delight to work with. The crews love him. He's just, he knows his stuff, man. Like, he makes my job so much easier. I basically just turn him on and that's it. I don't have to do anything. Like, he nails Yeah, it's hard to describe how it is, but he's a guy in ADR where, you know, where they try to, if you have to loop dialogue because of bad sound or whatever, he'll just smash it out in one take. He doesn't have to, like, do repeats or anything.
Wow.
He can just sync it, perfect sync, which is...
Oh, that's freaky.
Yeah, it's very freaky. It's very hard to do. And, yeah, he's just... And look, dude, he's a lovely human. He was just getting excited by finding new pies in the Canterbury region. That was like on a day off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Fair enough.
Hunt down the meat pies.
Did you make your way to Fairlie? Because that's where the best pies are. At the Fairlie.
Well, look, there was a... Look, we don't. This is a whole another show. I was driving to Ashburton on my off days to go to Sims just to try out because someone said you got to try Sims Bakery. Then there was a BP that had specialist pies brought in that I had to drive and find. And then Sheffield, we put it on the call sheet, so we had to. So we made it that you had to go.
Yes, good.
If you, I'm writing a book. I'm going to write a book on the pies of the region, man. It's there's a lot to. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of family history. There's a lot of squabbles about the pie biz down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a political game.
There's a movie to be made there for about the pie wars.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, I think it would be hilarious if I could get Elijah Wood on the show and talk nothing about film or art, but purely just pies.
Well, pie, he's a complete foodie, man. Like,
oh, really? Oh, cool.
He's happy to talk about food all the time. He gets invited to go eat at cool places and things. So he's had some pretty wild tasting menus. He was on. He did that Hot Wings show. I don't know if you've seen that on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've always wanted to do that.
Isn't that? Everyone wants to do that, yeah.
I did do a breakfast version here once where it was chicken nuggets and hot sauce, but that was terrible at 8 a.m. in the morning. Oh, my God.
I'm not, yeah, I would be the like a fountain coming out of my nose. I'm not that hot. I'm not that great with really intense heat spice.
No, I hate to admit it, but neither am I. Now, I do have to ask, are you the one behind Incredibly Strange, the film festival?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, that is you.
That's me. Yeah, I was Adi, you and I go way back, man. We did the festival like way down there in 1994.
Wow.
Adi, you was a sponsor of the festival.
Really? Oh my god.
So we did that for a long time. It was like a 30-year run all up, and then kind of put it to bed. And now we just do this sort of cool 24-hour movie marathon once a year, which is super fun for cinephiles. You just spend bring your pajamas and you spend an entire day on beanbags in a big cinema.
That's brilliant. That's so cool.
That's the last sort of legs of the Incredibly Strange, because I've left the film festival where it was living for a while in the New Zealand International Film Festival, which has just opened, by the way.
Yeah, yes, it has. That's right, yes.
And well, opened in Wellie, and then it's sprouting out everywhere else. But yeah, my section used to be in there, but we wrapped it up and I'm out now. A free agent, as they say. So more time to devote to trying to help other people get films up and maybe do another one myself.
Wow, good on you. That's so cool. Now, the reason I asked about that is, you know, in the 30 years since you started that, from your perspective, has a film changed and developed much in New Zealand? I guess the answer is yes, right?
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think the 90s, no offence to a lot of the films made then, but people always bag. I mean, we are the worst. It's that kind of like domestic bias that it is. And it's the same with Aussies and the same with the Irish and the British. We all sort of sometimes think everything else is grass is greener a lot of the time.
Yeah,
which is
right,
great.
Right.
And we don't celebrate our own stories and our own work enough, you know. And I don't mean in a pandering type of way. I just feel like we put them on a pedestal that they can't reach all the time, but they're not less for it. But I just think we're making better films now that because the market is so tough that we've had to have international financing coming into these films. In the old days, they weren't. They were fully financed by New Zealand mostly. And so,
right,
now,
of course.
Now they have to reach wider audiences. You know, we used to make films that didn't travel a lot. And so I just think it's a more mature one. It's still as hard as ever. We haven't made a global hit for a long, long time. It feels like, we get critical acclaim all the time, but in terms of like box office and things, it's a tougher story, you know. It's hard when Deadpool and stuff come out and they suck the entire oxygen out.
Yeah.
It's very hard, to get put your head above the parapet at the moment.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I'm so glad you've made that point. I think it's a really important one to make. Anyway, and honestly, I could talk to you all day, but I'm stealing far too much of your time. So all I want to say is thank you so, so much for joining me this morning. To our audience out there, check out Bookworm. It's almost out, or is it out now?
There's actually sneak screenings for like matinee sessions this weekend in Canterbury. So if you have a look, it's on at the Palms, and it's Riccarton. And check out flix.co.nz. There's a couple of sneak previews this weekend, and then it comes out August 8th nationwide everywhere.
Brilliant. Hey, and thank you so, so much for joining me this morning. We'll have to reconvene again to talk about pies more.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Liam.
No worries. Have a great day.
I will, buddy.